an alcoholic.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Casey.
Welcome to the History of ASCIPAW, Youth Enjoying Sobriety. Yes. Panel at the 18th and Arizona State Conference of Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous. Please help me open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are all self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So I'm now going to read the anonymity statement. Out of respect for our anonymity, please do not take photographs during any of the meetings of at ASCIPAW. The taking of photos during AA meetings makes many members uncomfortable about the confidentiality of the gathering. Also, please be considerate when taking photographs around conference venues. Take care that you do not capture images of AA members, family members, and friends who did not give permission and may not wish to appear in published pictures. You may interview us and our friends, but our full names and our pictures as AA members cannot be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. Please do not post recognizable photos of identifiable AA members on news websites. Whatever the medium, no disclosure of a member's affiliation with AA can be made by anyone but the individual. Here to read Facts, Aims, and Purposes of ASCIPAW, help me welcome Stephanie.
Stephanie, I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholism recognizes no barriers, age included. The first young people's groups in Alcoholics Anonymous appeared in 1945 in Los Angeles, California, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In 1957, a meeting of young AAs from across the U.S. and Canada started what is now the International Conference of Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous. At the 1968 convention, Bill W. noted that the age of new members was much lower than when he and Dr. Bob founded AA 25 years earlier. A 1975 Icky Pop pamphlet described the people in young people's groups as in their 20s and 30s, with some teenagers. The trend has continued. A 1989 AA survey reported that 30% of the respondents were under 40 years of age and that 3% were under 21 years of age. The number of young people suffering from alcoholism who turn to AA for help is growing, and the purpose of young people's groups, just as it has been for many years, is to carry a message of recovery to alcoholics no matter what their age. Young people's groups provide young newcomers with a meeting where they can see and share the experience of sobriety with other young people. Young people's groups try to make the newcomer understand that 20 plus years of drinking, coupled with loss of family, friends, and finances, are not necessary for one to be ready for sobriety. Young people's groups bring the newcomer into the mainstream of AA recovery service and unity through the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts for world service carrying AA's message to the suffering alcoholic. Young people's groups are no way separate from Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. Members of young people's groups are involved in and committed to the 12-step work, hospital and institution work, public information, general service, and every other facet of AA service. Newcomers are shown by people their own age that using AA principles in their daily lives and getting involved in AA service can lead to a lasting and comfortable sobriety. The Arizona State Conference of Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous meets annually. This meeting provides an opportunity for young AAs from all over to come together and share their experience, strength, and hope as young people in Alcoholics Anonymous. ASCIPAW is visible evidence that large numbers of young people are achieving a lasting and comfortable sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous. AAs who attend an ASCIPAW return home better prepared to receive young people who come to AA looking for a better way of life.
Help me welcome John, reading the 12 traditions.
I'm John, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, John.
These are the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Our first speaker is from Chandler. Please help me welcome Noreen.
My name is Noreen. I'm an alcoholic. And I am so delighted to be able to speak at a panel for YES, or ASCIPAW. See, that's just what it's all about, right there. My sobriety date is August 23rd, 1986, and I started being part of Young People's AA in about 1987. It's really funny. I came through the doors of another 12-step group, and this is real important as far as my involvement in young people. Because this other 12-step group, I was chairing meetings, and so it was downstairs, but then upstairs was a Young People's AA group. And these guys would come in screaming and hooting and hollering. And the other thing they would do is this meeting that I chaired rarely had more than two people, ever. You know, so one of the guys who was supposed to be here on this panel is a guy named Matt H. And so I'd be sitting here all by myself waiting for my meeting to start, and these guys would come in and say, "Why don't you pour some water on this meeting? Maybe it'll grow." You know, just sarcastic and disrespectful and crazy. And I wanted what they had, honestly. Because, you know, when I got sober, I did not want to be part of Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, it was like I'd failed. And what these guys, there's about five of them, they came across as not having a care in the world. They were confident, and most of all, they were laughing all the time. And what that correlates to is what we hear in the rooms is that we absolutely insist on enjoying life. So what started happening is that, you know, every time they'd see me at this meeting, then they would invite me out to coffee. And they said that they were part of Young People AA, but back in 87, that was called YES, which was Youth Enjoying Sobriety. And but they were also super active in AA overall. And I got sober in Phoenix, I moved to Tucson 5 years ago. I actually just moved back to Chandler just over the summer. But one thing that I really have so much respect for the Young People AA in Tucson is that, and what a joy it is that the AA that I see down here in Tucson is almost identical to how it was for me back in the late 80s. I mean, you know, showing up, enthusiastic, extending their hand, you know, getting on the road and going to support another person who's speaking out of town or out of Tucson area. That camaraderie that I was part of early on, I see down here in Tucson, and that's why it's such a joy that you guys are hosting the conference this year. Anyway, so the other thing, you know, one thing for me, especially about being involved in YES, is I wanted to have a lot of fun. I didn't necessarily want to do steps, or I didn't want to get a sponsor. I just wanted a party. And that's how it kind of started. But then, you know, where it also says in the book about, under, you know, even though you see a lot of levity, underneath it all, there is a tremendous amount of earnestness about it, which means, you know, we're still wanting to stay sober. We don't want anybody to drink. We really want you to be part of this. So my first indoctrination into YES was the social chairman canceled. They quit. So I was involved in arranging all the social events for YES. I mean, that's the way to do it. So we had our first sober tubing trip down the Salt River. So, of course, being only a year sober and being a control freak, you know, of course, I had to have the tubing trip to be absolutely perfect. And basically, they told me to lighten up. And these guys told me for years I needed to lighten up. Anyway, so as that got on, what came out of it was, even though I was still struggling with staying sober and doing the steps, that feeling of belonging, that feeling of being part of was so strong. And I threw myself into YES pretty, you know, with a lot of enthusiasm. Some of the funny things that happened, you know, so we were now, and back then, it was Tucson would have the state convention, then Phoenix. Tucson, Phoenix, Tucson, Phoenix. That's just how it was. It was like a volleyball. That's all we did. And, but in 1988, Flagstaff had the first Young People's Convention. And that was great. I mean, it was great in the sense that this was a small little group, and, you know, right before the convention, the co-chair went out drinking. And just like in typical fashion, when they did countdown, the co-chair took the big book for the newcomer. I mean, that's how we do it. I mean, is that, like, not great? You know, the co-chair took the big book for the newcomer. It was like, right on, that's what we do. But the one thing I do want to make note of it is that there was a group about five guys. Joe P., Alan W., Jim T., Steve C., Matt H., a guy named Glenn. And you know what's great is that all these guys are still sober. And they all look like me, you know. Got bags under their eyes, you know. Saggy chin, big bellies, you know. You know, we were young people once. But some of the funny stuff we did was that we were trying to raise a lot of money for the state convention. So we would have a speaker meeting and dance every month. And, you know, we would we were really getting big groups. But my favorite story of, like, boy, we're resilient, is that we were having a dance on the Indian reservation up in Scottsdale at Scottsdale Community College. And that's the Salt River Indian Reservation. And back then, there was also a biker group called the Fifth Chapter. You know, I think there's Sober Riders now, but back then, they were called the Fifth Chapter. And these guys also packed guns, but they liked to dance. So we would get hundreds of people at these dances. Well, I didn't know. I don't think any of us young people in AA knew, but you're not allowed to bring guns to the on the Indian reservation. Well, somehow, someone found out that these sober riders had guns, and our poor little yes dance got completely locked down. I mean, we got surrounded. So here we are, like, dancing, you know, little sober AAs. We love life, and there's Indians with guns, and it was crazy. And if anybody knows Alan, I know you know Alan, you know, it's so great, you know, when things go bad, the first thing we say, what the fuck is going on? Everybody was screaming. But, you know, we were able to keep our heads about us and ask the sober riders to put their guns away, this tender little dance, you know. And now I was sober, I think, 3 years when I was the chairperson of the most unsuccessful young people's AA to date.
Are you sure about that?
I am, because that was the year that, actually, I spoke at 4848 last Wednesday, and they were actually talking about the convention where a group of kids in the middle of the night took their cigarette lighters to the fire extinguishers and flooded two floors at the Holiday Inn.
Legend lives on.
And I would, that's right. Steve C. says he remembers opening up the elevator and the water coming down and people who weren't part of the group being evacuated at 3 a.m. All these people out in the middle of the parking lot because, flooded. Two floors of the Holiday Inn on 44th Street in Washington. We were not welcomed. And it was amazing to see how, what happens? Because no matter what, again, as much as we try to screw that up, the most beautiful thing is that God was through that whole convention. Because after all was said and done, the advisory group, the guys that were part of the advisory said, okay, first thing we have to do is we have to make it right with the hotel. We've got to, you know, stand united, and because we had a lot of, like, the intergroups, like Salt River Intergroup, East Valley Intergroup, they wanted us to disband and get out of town because we had blackened the eye of Alcoholics Anonymous. We had. But when all was said and done, I think we had enough money after paying our bills to give Tucson, I think, $25 or $50 seed money. I don't know. I don't think we paid all the damage, but we paid a lot of the bills. I don't think we paid all the damage, but that's probably, you know, part of my alcoholic blackout there. But yeah, that was a tough time, but we still hung in there. And you know, since that time, I will always stay part of Young People AA, and that really is what kept me really entrenched in being sober, is that being part of that group. And as I was talking to a few of you guys, I had the privilege to be able to give ASCAPAW all the T-shirts and all the pictures from the mid-'80s for the archives. Because my ex-husband, I was telling these guys at breakfast that was part of my divorce settlement was that I got the yes stuff, you know, because... Well, you know, it wasn't even in the decree, but what it was is like when we're moving out, we're packing our stuff, I said, I get all the, because you're not going to AA anymore, I get the AA stuff. So I had all the T-shirts. I think I donated the t-shirts as far back as from 83, so I think 83 to 90, you guys got all the t-shirts and pictures of Camp Serenity, the summer and the winter Camp Serenity. But the most important thing about this, that I, and I'll close with that, is that some of the young people, guys, that 12-stepped me 24 years ago are still sober, and they're still part of AA. That's why it's so important and so critical that, you know, we take care of everybody, no matter what age they're in or what part. But the young people AA for me was the most, still is the happiest time of my sobriety, really feeling a part of. So thank you very much.
Okay, our next speaker is from Porter Ranch, California. Help me welcome Chris.
Chris, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
It's good to see all of you here, really, all of you. Can you hear me in the back? All right, we're good. Thanks, Serene. That was... I was the ASCII PA archivist from 94, 5 to whenever, mid-90s. And I heard many, many, many recounts of the flooding of that hotel. And some recounted it as Flagstaff, and some recounted it as Tucson, Phoenix. The years varied, so I guess it didn't leave a lasting black eye because nobody could even remember if or where it even happened. So, but there were the. Anyhow, my entry into Alcoholics Anonymous as a young person, I was 17 when I got sober, and I got to say, when I first got sober, once I got through the first step and a bunch of relapses, and finally realized that I wanted sobriety, Alcoholics Anonymous seemed extraordinarily boring in terms of activity. I was into the steps, and I liked the program. I got a lot out of it, obviously, but I was 17 and still looking for other ways to inflict damage on my life and the world around me. I found YES at the time. So my entry into all this stuff is at this hinge point in the timeline. And I was about, I think I wasn't even a year, maybe a year sober, right around a year sober, and this pretty girl that I liked at the time came up, and she had a bunch of YES flyers for the YES convention in Phoenix in 1992. And I didn't know what it was, but she sold me. It wasn't 92, it was 91, that's right, it was in Tucson that year. So there was, you know how it is when it's in your town, right, there's a big flurry of outreach activity, and everybody's passing out flyers, and the Alano Club is a buzz, and so I went, and it was a lot of fun. It was exactly what hanging out at the pool hall in the Alano Club was not. It was a lot of young people. A lot of my friends were there and hanging out all night. And fortunately, nobody lit off the sprinklers or anything. I think that YES convention probably ushered forth the security subcommittee at some point. So now we have all these young alcoholics with paramilitary ambitions and walkie-talkies. if you're new to YPA, or if you're planning on getting involved at some time, you know, you see a room like this with chandeliers like this, and you're like, if you've been on a committee, you kind of shudder a little bit. You just see all these things in the hotel that can get damaged. But anyway, I went to this event, and it was a lot of fun. And AA conventions are fun in general. And I'm a big believer that in the idea that AA isn't really so much work as people say. A lot of people like to pound the pulpit and say, you got to work this program, and I don't subscribe to that. I used to like to say it a lot because I like to sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I think Alcoholics Anonymous is about living sober and getting involved in service in any way that you can get you into that, being around other people and not isolating and getting resentments and causing resentments and learning how to live like a human being and not have to go and do some massive write-up every time you offend somebody or they offend you or whatever. And if you've been on a committee of any kind in service, but certainly a WIPA convention committee, you find yourself in doing a lot of 10 steps, right? Because these guys don't know what the hell they're doing and nobody listens to what you're saying. And anyway, so when we originally, so me and a couple of friends of mine decided that it would be really cool if we bid for the next Yes convention, because the music that they play at the dances sucks, right? So we like Slayer and Iron Maiden, obviously, right? So we're like, well, if we get to bid, then we can make really cool like rock T-shirts and tie-dye T-shirts and have them play the right music, and all the chicks will like us. And you know, we didn't really know much about carrying the message at that age or time. It's a day at a time, right? So we went to bid, and actually in 92, and I slept through the bid. Fortunately, Robert and Ronnie went, and we were ironically, the first year that there were two bid committees, I think, was 92. And it was a lean convention. There was no panels or anything like that. It was just speakers. The committee was very small. It was well attended, but the committee was very small. And in those days, the active population of young people in Arizona would really fluctuate. It was up and down, and a lot of the small group of people ended up doing a lot of the work over and over again. But at any rate, so we went, and there was two committees, and the advisory council didn't know what to do because they hadn't put out any information packets about bidding or how to bid or anything like that. So both committees showed up, both groups of people, we'll call it, showed up, and we had no materials. I mean, and our argument was that we were going to play cool music, so I don't think we have anything like that in the bid requirements now. But there ought to be, damn it, because I still haven't seen a mosh pit really at an ASCII pop. What happened, and they told us to come back in a month. This isn't the first time this happened in I don't know if it happened in Yes before, but once the name was changed, this was not the first time that this happened. But round two of bidding took place. So we were told what to do and sent back, and I think I quit my job at the time to make sure that I could dedicate all of my time to ASCII Pod. I was 18. I had a girlfriend. I was working at the handicap light bulb company. So it's not like I had a lot going on anyway. Still trying to figure myself out. Wanted to go to college, but didn't really want to do like homework and go to class. So I did ASCII Pod, and it was a very maturing experience of sorts. I wouldn't say that I've completely matured today, but relatively speaking. So we went back and we got this hotel information and all this stuff, and the Tucson committee came back and we met with Steve. I can't say last names, right? Steve C. Glenn. I don't remember his last name anyway. And Matt Glenn W. Okay, and Matt H. Went to their house and showed them our hotel package, and the other guys showed them their hotel package, and ours was better, so we won. And then they said, it's not Yes anymore, it's ACCII Pod, right? So Arizona Conference of Young People in AA, which is what I understand is a long-standing contention, like Noreen mentioned, between Yes, which to my knowledge of WIPOC conferences across the nation, Yes is the only non-WIPA named conference ever to exist. So they told us that, and they're like, oh, great. And so we went back to Tucson, and we really, at that point, I think the Yes Advisory Council had basically, they hadn't dissolved, but those three guys were like the last, they were the only, and they basically said, okay, we're done, it's all you. They rotated. So we kind of had to rebuild everything from scratch, which was a good experience for me. One of the things I learned out of all this stuff is probably to this point in my life, I think I was maybe coming up on 2 years of sobriety, I'd never really done anything for anybody else, right? My life existed by means of what can I consume from others. And I'd been sober about 2 years, and I'd been making some amends, so I was starting to come around to that. But here was this thing that had been going on since 1982 that had started as a result from Icky Pop being in Tucson in 1980. And I had this role to play in persisting it. I didn't really understand it at the time, but I had to do work. And I did it. The experiences I had at these conferences compelled me to do a good job on the one that I was now responsible for, which I know most of you guys don't know me, but that's, at the time at least, that was not a typical mode of operation for me. I was not the kind of person who went out and worried about those kind of things, right? I was more into myself, so I ended up becoming the chair of that conference because I was the only one who would yell "shut up" at the committee. Because I mean, we literally, this group of us that we had no knowledge of Robert's Rules of Order. We had no advisory council. We didn't even know what Icky Pop was until a few months later, when we started kind of branching out and talking to other people. So we would just have these business meetings, and the topic was always the next dance. And it was just blah, everybody yelling at each other, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. Blah. I think we did have a couple people from the previous Yes Convention that had been in Tucson that would show up. So I would just tell everybody, shut up and talk in order. And so they elected me chair. And I think they regretted it ever since. But we did. So we went to Icky Pop and we found out that we couldn't call it Acky Pop because there was already an Acky Pop that had been around for quite some time. So we cooked up Acky Pop. So for a few months it was Acky Pop and then it was Acky Pop. And so to be clear for the record, since this is going to be around forever, Yes never actually dissolved. Acky Pop was not reformed. So for my purview, there's been a continuous young people's convention in Arizona since 1982, which is pretty impressive, I think. I don't think it would have lasted that long if it wasn't needed. That's not to say that every year it was huge. There are definitely some lean times in the 90s and some unfortunate purchases at the last minute of various materials that ended up costing the committees quite a bit of money. But so far as I know, in that, since 1982, the only black eye was that that cigarette lighter experience. And we didn't have tie-dye shirts. We didn't have any decent music at any of the dances. But we did have a lot of fun, and I'm still friends with most of the people from back in those days, I think, especially thanks to Facebook. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the internet back then either, or cell phones. Some of us had pagers, and I really miss pagers because paging people to other people's numbers was a lot of fun for me. I really miss pagers. And we didn't have any of that stuff. We made our flyers with like crayons and Xerox machines. This is really starting to go downhill, but it was the olden days, and so, you know. But we had a lot of fun, and I learned an immense amount. And even today in the job that I have, I found that the things that I learned in ASCII PA and in AA service helped me today I work with a lot of engineers. They're a lot like whiny alcoholics. You have to coddle them. And you learn how to do these basic things in service, and you learn how to treat people respectfully day by day, and not tell them that their ideas are stupid or whatever, or that we're just not going to do it that way. It's powerful stuff. I encourage everybody, especially when they're new, to get involved in these things, because it's about being in a program that you live and learning how to practice the principles in the steps, not work yourself to death trying to come up with the ivory tower fourth step. And you make friends, and like I said, I'm still friends with a lot of those people today. A few of us are here. And then you get to, after you get to do all that, then you get to see the next group come in. And I get personal enjoyment today out of disrupting business meetings to some level, but because you can't progress too fast. But we reformed the advisory council, and I think it's pretty much been in continuous operation since then, it's something I'm grateful that I was able to be a part of and play my role in seeing all the hard work that people did in the 80s continue through the 90s, and now, what is this, 2010? Mm. So what is that, 28 years? That's fast math. So that's a good thing. Now we get the internet, so we can dig up all these T-shirts and old speaker tapes and digitize them and relive the whole thing all once more and find each other on Facebook and see how old we've all gotten, and it'll all happen to you guys too. So, thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Our next speaker is from Tucson. Please help me welcome Guy.
Hi, my name's Guy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Guy.
And it's good to be here, and good to be sober, I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to be on this panel. It seems like pretty good panel selection, because it's been about every 5 or 6 years, I think, speaker-wise, and I came along about 5 or 6 years after Chris did, so I think we're marching slowly towards the future here, or towards the present, I guess. And I really related to what he was saying about the number of young people, especially in Tucson, at the time that I was getting sober, was fluctuated widely. Situation happened with me. Well, first of all, I came in May of 97. That's when I got sober. And I really didn't know anything about young people's AA. I went to a big people's home group that had 30-some meetings a week and a huge cast of characters. And I got involved there and got my sponsor there and went to all my meetings there, and I went to the business meeting because my sponsor said that's a big important part of this whole thing is doing service, and you have to go to the group conscience, and but I found out that you had to be sober for a year before you could do anything for the group. You weren't allowed to do any service, really, except you could vacuum or you could wash the windows. Neither which I'm very well suited to doing, even if I was inclined to. I really found a little disconnect there. And I started going to this group on the weekends because I found that the weekends were the hardest time for me. I was a binge drinker, and every Friday night was my trigger time, and the weekends were the longest part of the week in early sobriety for me, because that was all the time that I was partying and boozing it up, and then I'd try to get it together for the work week, you know. So weekends were my tough time. I found this meeting late on Sunday night, not really late, I think it was 8:45, it's pretty late for Tucson, and it was a young people's meeting at the Alano Club. So I started hanging out there because I found that it was a really good kind of a way to cap off the weekend and then, you know, kind of get ready for the next week. And I made the mistake of going to one of their business meetings, and they had maybe, I don't know, 3 people and 10 positions, something like that. 3 people involved. They were covering 10 positions, and they said, you know, we don't happen to have a time requirement for doing service in this group. And, so I started getting involved there and just doing, you know, little stuff, whatever I could do. And it really helped in my early sobriety. It gave me a sense of responsibility and purpose. And I still went to the big group, you know, for most of my meetings. But, yeah, that's sort of how I got involved with young people. And about just after I got a year of sobriety, there was a conference. The Young People's Conference was up in Prescott that year. I heard about it. And I just happened to have a seminar for my job that was in Phoenix the same weekend, and the seminar was over at noon on Friday or whatever, 2 p.m. on Friday, and the conference started in Prescott. So I thought, well, that'd be, you know, that kind of works out, maybe I'll go check out this conference. So I went to the conference, and it was kind of I think it was one of those transition periods where a lot of the young people group in Tucson, which wasn't very big at the time, you know, maybe 8 or 10 people, for whatever reason, decided that that would be the summer that they would, you know, they were going to be cured and then they could go out and drink. So a bunch of them all went out together, and there weren't very many other people around that didn't drink. And one of the people especially that got my attention was this little tiny girl about 15 years old named Andrea, and she was scared shitless because her role models had just gone, you know, they took off, and she didn't want to go, she didn't want to join them, and apparently she stayed up all night talking to the advisory council about the desperate condition of young people's AA in Tucson and how something had to be done. And they said, well, you know, form a bid committee. So apparently sometime between midnight and 7 a.m., she formed a bid committee. And then when I woke up at 8 and started moving around at 9, I was informed that I was another member of the bid committee. And this other girl, I think her name was Lindsay. Lynn, started with an L. Anyhow, she was about 16. She was the third member of the bid committee. You have to have 3 members to bid. So, you know, very strict requirement. And they all have to be at least a year sober. And I had just gotten, you know, my year chip like a couple of months earlier, so I qualified. And so I went to this thing called the bid, you know, the bid session, the thing that's going on, I guess, now somewhere else in the hotel, and had no clue what was going on. I got prepped by one of the advisory people for about 5 minutes right before we spoke. So so I ended up giving this pitch about this conference, and Andrea had been calling these big hotels in the middle of the night in Tucson and trying to get the best deal out of them that she could. You know, like, what do you mean $69 a night? You know, we can't afford that. And it was really, you know, she had the stuff scribbled on the back of napkins, and, you know, I'm trying to read this stuff, you know, and of course, Phoenix was there, you know, with 30 or 40 people with their T-shirts on and all ready to bid for the next year's convention. And, you know, they'd gotten the best deal they could with the help of the Chamber of Commerce. And, we gave our pitch. They gave their pitch. And I thought, well, that's the end of that. You know, that was interesting. And it turned out that all day long, nobody ever heard from the advisory council. And they were in session for like 7 hours. And they never could make up their mind, apparently. And that was the thing that really impressed me the most, was it turned out that they did give the conference to Phoenix because they deserved it. And they'd been working for a whole year, you know, to bid for it. But they apparently argued for like 6 hours about Tucson and what to do about it, and the fact that it was a big problem. And I was very impressed by that, by the spirit of that, and by them realizing the need and being sensitive to that. And so they said, you know, well, you know, Phoenix is going to get the conference, but you guys should go back to Tucson and get some more people and form a real big committee. And, you know, here's the way we do it. And these are, by then, I guess they had some suggested procedures and, you know, bylaws and stuff like that. And, you know, this is the way we do it, and we'll help you out. And so that's what we did. And we came back and got a committee together. And then we came back a year later to the conference in Phoenix, and we bid. I think we were the only bidder, but we did it right, you know, and we had a real committee. And then we got the bid. So we did the conference here in 2000 in Tucson. And I was very gratified to see all the people in the room last night for ASCIPA. I don't know if I've seen that many people on a Friday night meeting, at least that wasn't in Phoenix. And it really touches my heart that Young People's has grown to the degree it has, and that it's providing the service that it does in helping people get sober, early in their years, and that people can connect to this big force that's there, and they can identify quicker, and hopefully more of them can stay sober with it. The other thing that really impressed me with Young People's was, I guess probably because of their desperation, they had no requirements for membership whatsoever. And at least in Tucson, that meant that it didn't really matter, you know, if you were different in one way or another. It seemed like everybody who was interested, they were happy to have you, and they, you know, welcomed your input. And that really attracted me to this whole thing. And now I think that spirit that I saw back then, even though it was a very small thing, you know, we may have had 200 people to our conference, I don't know. That's if we counted everybody, you know, including the hotel maintenance staff, anybody that drove into the hotel mistakenly. The best thing about the hotel was how cheap it was, and then I had negotiated a free full breakfast included in the price for up to 4 people in every room. So it worked out that if you took the value of the breakfast out of the deal, then the rooms were like $19. And the other great thing was that there was a Village Inn across the street, and even though it was in a terrible part of town, the Village Inn was open 24/7, so that was the perfect hangout. So 2 months before the conference, they closed the Village Inn, put a big chain link fence around it, and the hotel went under. They went bankrupt, bought out by new management, and they took out the whole kitchen. The whole kitchen staff, gone. So no more breakfast, no village inn. But it didn't really matter, because what matters is the spirit of the people, and you know, the people are the conference, and they make it happen. It really, it's just providing a spot, providing an opportunity for that to happen. And I'm really gratified to see how big it is. And the spirit that I thought I was catching at that time, and it's still here in young people's, is what it seems to me must be similar to what the first couple of hundred of alcoholics, the way they treated each other, in that if somebody has a need and they express it, somebody in young people's will help out another person. If somebody lives 20 miles away on the far side of town and they don't have a car, or the car breaks down, they can't get to the meeting, somebody will drive across town and spend 45 minutes going to get that person and bring them in. If somebody doesn't have enough money to hang out afterwards at the coffee shop and get something to eat, somebody will cover them, you know? And that spirit, I think, it shows how precious each person is coming in sober. And I think maybe that the big AA has matured so much as a group and as an organization that maybe it's lost a little bit of that kind of helping spirit, you know. It's so widespread now that it's easy just to check into a meeting and check out, and you know, people get their own recovery and then take off. And I don't see that same kind of, you know, cohesion and you know, loving kindness and help for each other that I see in young people's. And I hope that it stays that way. I really do. And I think Arizona's on a real positive trend now. And I'm just glad to be here and to be asked to be a part of it. I also did the advisory council thing for 5 years after we had the conference, which is the best part because you get to critique everybody else. And even though, you know, you might have done a crappy job, you can still critique everybody else that comes along after you, you know. So that was always fun. And the personalities made it worthwhile to come to the events and, you know, show up for 6-hour business meetings. And I hope that the advisory council has quit torturing itself like that. Because a lot of that was unnecessary.
It's all part of the experience.
Yeah, it's all part of the deal. Anyhow, that's my story. I've been here since 97, and it's great to see how Askipa has flourished. That's all I've got. Thanks.
To have a vision for you, Red. Help me welcome Tala.
My name is Tala. I'm an alcoholic. And this is a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
May I please have a hand for everyone who read today? help me thank our speakers once again. Please help me, says please help me join hands and close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer.